Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, I just want to let you know about Lane Finder, which is a partner of Hammer Lane Legends. Lane Finder is an app you can go ahead and download as a trucker, and it will help you find your dream job as a trucker. This is a truck driving app. It's not for anybody. It's just for truck drivers. And what it is you download this app and you fill out your information, and it will design a profile for you. And when there is a job in the area fitting the criteria that you're looking for in a job, they will notify you so you can get first dibs on applying and getting that job that you always wanted. Lane Finder. Go ahead and click the links in the description of this episode for Android or iOS, and you will be able to download your app right to your phone and get started today. And by using the link in the description, you're helping out Hammer Lane Legends immensely, because Lane Finder will then know that you came from us and they'll keep us around promoting their products. So thanks in advance, and let's get to the show.
Parked, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel, and alongside of me is my dad, Brian Merkel. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. So we got a great show planned for everybody today. We have Matt coming on, and Matt's going to be just sharing his life in trucking. I mean, just truck talk, and he has some lot lizard stories, and just he's just got a lot of fun stories. It was a good conversation that we had with Matt. But I'll tell you what, Dad, you know, this week was an interesting week. Work's kind of slow. How about you?
That's not too bad. It's been, I mean, I'm, you know, have enough seniority that I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
You know, it's slower at the terminal, but yeah, it's all right.
It must be nice to have the seniority. I mean, I have some, but I mean, with a company like ours, I mean, guys come in and they never leave. So, yeah. You know, you got guys who are there for 30 some years and they're at the top of the pile. So a guy like me who has 8 years in is like, yeah, you're a rook, you know? So,
exactly.
But, I have a territory that I run. I have a bid, and that's my job, and I do it, right? And when it's slow, we sometimes move Tony around. And, you know, sometimes Tony isn't in his area.
Right.
A lot of times. And so, and I told him, I said, you know, listen, I don't really, you know, I can do other areas. I don't really care that much.
Right.
But I told him, I said, I don't like doing North Philadelphia. I chose running Pottstown, Boyertown, Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania for a reason. It's the opposite direction of Philadelphia.
Exactly.
I don't like driving Philly. When my boss interviewed me, I think I told everybody this on the intro of introductory episode, that in the interview, he says, "Do you have a problem with Philly?" I said, "No, I just, when I have a chance to bid out of Philly, I'm going to do it because I hate Philly. I don't mind driving it. I mean, I'd mind driving it as in I don't like it."
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But so I told him, I said, "I don't like driving North Philly. Prefer not Delco, but I'll do it. And I don't like South Philly." And well, I came in this week and I looked at my book and it had South Philly on it. And I was like, well, that's a typo, you know? And I'm like, hey, where am I going today? Right there. Oh, okay. And so I was like, all right, well, we're going to South Philly. Wasn't happy about it. I don't know South Philly. So when I saw a book that had South Philly, I only had four stops. And I was like, well, I don't know where these stops are. And there's probably a reason why it only has four stops, because it's going to be an all-day process.
Right.
You know, I'm probably going into some places that I don't want to be in. And I get down there, and it really, honestly, it wasn't that bad of a run.
No, that's good.
I knocked it out fast. And I'm in the Navy Yard at my last delivery, and I call in, and I said, hey, I'm done. What do you want from me? He said, all right, we'll go up to South Front Street, do this delivery at blah, blah, blah place. And I'm like, all right, South Front Street doesn't sound like a street that I want to be on. And I looked on it, because what I do is I go on Google Maps when I don't know where I'm going. and I actually look at the satellite image, and sometimes I actually zoom in. So I'm actually seeing the street view that Google provides. So right. I'm able to, I see, does it say no truck signs on this intersection? All that stuff that before I even drive there, because I want to know as much as possible. I'm a 2020 kind of driver.
Yes, you know? You are.
Maps? What's that? You know? But so I'm like, okay, I get up there. And it's a residential neighborhood. And I pull my trailer down this road that, you know, if I didn't know any better, trucks shouldn't be down here. But I get down there and there's this place I pull into their gated lot and I spin my trailer around and I back in. And I'm like, I just hope that it gets better from here because I was not happy in the direction I was going. So I back in my trailer, and earlier in that day, I did something I normally don't really do. And I mentioned it before in the show, I have another podcast, The Confessionals, and it has a pretty big following. And so I took a picture of my route and I put it on my stories on Instagram. And I told people, heading to South Philly, if you're in South Philly, give me a shout. And so I go to South Philly and I back into this pickup. I get out of my truck and there's this trailer driving down the road. Mm-hmm. And the guy, as he's parallel with this lot, looks over and then he does a double take and looks at me again as he's passing by. And he goes, Tony Merkel! He's like, I love the show! And I was like, yeah, all right, thanks, man. And so I was like, you know, that probably made it worth coming to South Philly, because it just, you go. I was like, that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
And so like I've had deliveries where I do deliveries and people recognize me from the show. I've actually had some guys walk up to me at a delivery in Royersford. I'm talking to the receiver and this guy comes over behind me and he's just kind of looking at me. I'm like, you all right, man? And he's like, I love your show, man. And I was like, oh, you listen to the show? And then I'm talking to him and I turn my right and there's another guy standing there and he's like, we listen to your show all the time. So I was like, that's cool.
It's that
like,
is so cool.
Shout out to Micah. Oh man, I'm drawing a blank here. I think his name's Ross. Anyways, he's going to feel totally slighted, but
yeah,
the nice guys job. At 3M, the guys at 3M in Pottstown, shout out to those guys. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of my week here, just, you know, heading to South Philly, but it wasn't that bad of a week, and we're slow at my terminal. So like, I mean, I've been doing like days where I'm working like 7 hours,
wow.
7.5 hours. I'm not even doing 8 hours. And I'm not going to complain, you know, because you know how it is. I mean, when it gets busy, you're like, I wish I had less hours. So yes. When you got less hours, I'll take them. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So
and back to that maps thing you got going on there, you know, I mean, I remember when I first started driving truck 27 years ago, we didn't use our phones to figure out where we're going. I have a whole briefcase at home full of maps of North Jersey and Philly and South Jersey. It amazes me how you guys do it nowadays. Thankfully, I don't need those maps because I don't do daytime driving, so I'm not doing P&D, pickups and deliveries. I am just a line haul driver between terminals and relay points, and that's a fantastic thing, but well played with the phone, well played.
Listen, man, it is 2020 and we are up with the times. Like, I'm telling you, like, when I talk to a new driver that's driving trailer, a new trailer driver, and he's like, do you know what the best commercial driving GPS is? I'm like, GPS? Bro, you don't need a GPS anymore. Like, it's called Google Maps.
Yeah, you got a smartphone in your pocket. You've got a GPS with you.
Yeah, it's like, this is a computer in your pocket. That's all you need. And he's they'll be like, well, I need to know about the low bridges. I'm like, it's called eyes. You read signs. Like, you cannot get a commercial GPS because you're planning on having that replace your eyeballs.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You need Good to point. Be alert with out there. So Google Maps doesn't tell you, it's not commercialized. I think Google could make a killing if they made a Google Maps commercial app. Where it's for truckers, because Google's out there already with their cars taking pictures and mapping the roads. If they actually kicked it up a notch and actually listed where roads are that are for no trucks, weight limits, bridge limits, all that stuff, like height limits. If they did that and they charged $200 for that app, truckers would buy that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think at least when I bought my commercial GPS years ago, it was like $500. If you charge $100 for this app, truckers will buy it.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly being updated. Anyways, you don't need the commercial GPS anymore.
Right.
Because all you do is Google everything. So Google tells you where to go. And for most part, I mean, sometimes there's glitches in the system.
Yeah.
But you just... And if you don't know where you're going, and say like you're in South Philadelphia, and you have no idea what road you can go down, and you got to get from point A to point B,
right.
And you know you got dispatch breathing down your neck that you have more than one pickup like I had, because at the end of that story was after that pickup, they said I can leave the city. So I started driving back to Norristown, and my truck broke down. So that was convenient.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess my day just got a lot easier so,
and longer.
Yeah. Well, I still punched out within 8 hours, but
wow.
It's my life, man. It's easy. but when you're out there and you're driving and you don't know where you're going, if you go on Google Maps and you're like, okay, I don't know if I can go down this road, just hit the button on the bottom and you can go onto the street view, and you can, it's like you're standing on the street looking around and you can see the street sign. So you know if you'll see a street sign that says no trucks or weight limit 20 tons, and you know if you can go down there or not, or maybe it won't have any sign. You're like, wow, on the map, looking at the satellite view, it looks like a place that I don't want to be. But it says trucks can go down there. Like, there's nothing saying that trucks can't go down there. So at least if I go down there, I'm not breaking any laws.
Right.
And
right.
So it takes a little bit of preparation, a little bit of time to, you know, map your route out like that. But it's worth it. And it's a lot better than the stupid maps that you started with.
Sorry, Rand McNally.
I have no idea who Rand McNally is.
Oh, my word. Am I old? All right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They were
about.
The map makers. Rand McNally. Oh, my word.
I had no idea. None. I got a Northeast Philadelphia map sitting in my truck from the previous driver. I said, you want your maps? He's like, no. And he's been at it for years, but he doesn't need it anymore. I don't need it, but hey, I let it sit there because it looks like I know what I'm doing. I'm a driver with a map, you know. I don't touch that thing, you know.
It's just
collecting fifth wheel grease, you know. So, but yeah, I just wanted to say that to give people some pointers and stuff, that maybe you're a new driver listening, or maybe that, you know, even if you're not a driver but you're just a civilian driver, you're just driving your car, if you don't know where you're going and stuff, Google has such great features where the satellite, for me, I drive. When I use Google as an actual GPS, I drive with the satellite image on. That way I can actually really even see the buildings, and I can actually see what everything truly looks like from the top. It helps me so much with navigation. I can actually see the lot and how big it is. Are there cars in there? Because if there's a car in the lot, you can gauge how big the car is compared to the lot as to whether your trailer can pull into the lot and fit. I mean, if the car looks like it's taking up half the lot, chances are your trailer's not going to fit in that lot, right?
Right.
But the satellite image helps a lot, and also the street view helps a lot with actually mapping out your turns. So you know, I can actually make a left-hand turn here, even though I thought I couldn't, I can. Or maybe my thoughts were right, and I got to figure out a new way. And sometimes that new way is the only way, which is the long way around. So yeah, anyways, that's some chit-chat about Google Maps and all that fun stuff. Maybe that's some pointers of the week. I don't know. But that was how my week kind of went and stuff. And before we get too carried away, because I could talk forever,
right?
I think you trained me on how to talk like this, but I think I could talk you under the table. I could just
I'm sure
go.
You could. Yeah.
But we do have a great show planned for everybody this week. We have Matt coming on, and Matt just is going to share a lot of fun experiences that he's had out in the road. He started driving truck in the military, then became a civilian driver, and his wife comes with him, and he's got stories. So without any further delay, let's bring on Matt. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Good, man. It's good to talk to you. So, Matt, tell me a little bit here. So, me and my dad, we were sitting here talking about, you know, future guests that are coming up and things like that. And obviously, we were talking about you because you are a future guest and you're coming on now. How did you get into trucking? Because me and my dad were talking about, you know, how people get into trucking. And it's kind of interesting how different people's stories kind of happen when it comes to truck driving.
Okay. For me, you know, as I was growing up as a kid, everything, my dad always messed around big trucks and equipment and stuff like that. So I was kind of around it off and on throughout my, you know, time growing up. And then I spent 8 years in the Army there. And I was supposed to have been in artillery, which I was, but somehow or another, I miraculously got stuck behind the wheel of the truck. So I got to haul all the explosives and all that fun stuff. And once I got out, I thought, well, it looks like this is where I'm headed. So I went and got my license and found a place and started running coast to coast. And everything kind of history from there.
Yeah, so I mean, you basically got your start in the military, and that's interesting because I actually, when I was, well, the company that I work at, there was a lady that started working there, and she was working the dock. Actually, Dad, you probably ran into her. This is years ago. The young, she was younger, like she was younger than me. Mm-hmm. Blonde hair. She was working the dock and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Remember Kelsey?
Yep. It was one of the few girls who was working the dock at the time.
Yeah, and she actually had gotten her CDL in the military, and she was in the process of getting it, you know, transferred over to be a civilian license. And I couldn't believe the amount of hoops that they made people jump through that got their CDL in the military to be able to drive trailer on civilian roads. They took her forever. Like she had to jump through so many hoops. Matt, did you have a problem having to transfer over at all?
No, not really. Because when I got out, I just let all that, the military licensing, go. And then when I got out, I went ahead and came back, or came into as a, just a civilian, and went in that way. That way I could avoid that. You're right, though. They make you jump through a lot of hoops, and it don't make no sense, because a lot of the stuff that we carry, you know, in the service could be, you know, everything like what we, you know, what we haul out here. It could be just basic commodities, or, you know, it could be some pretty sensitive equipment and stuff. But yeah, I don't know why they treat it so differently. I mean, it does happen, though.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that, because I look at it like, you know, like what you just said. You're hauling stuff in the military. There is, I mean, like you said, it could be anything from commodities as to supplies for the soldiers to weapons. I mean, it's like what is the mystery here? Why does this should translate right into civilian life and being able to do this in the streets? I mean, you're not driving around IEDs or anything like that here in the States. So it should right be a better, an easier transfer.
Yeah. You would think it'd be kind of a no brainer, but it is, it's aggravating. That's why I kind of figured, well, it'd be better just to do it this way, which it did. It made it a lot easier.
So you had gotten into driving in the military, and obviously it was more of a reluctant thing. You weren't planning on it, but what was that like? I mean, did you have any, you know, experiences driving in the military that were, you know, clench your butt cheeks together, scary or anything?
Well, when you're hauling explosives like I did, you know, a lot of the high explosive rounds and stuff like that for the artillery pieces, you know, that does kind of make your heart miss a beat every now and then when you hear them things back there clanking together. But we had a lot of, oh man, we had some real nut jobs in there, needless to say. Every branch has them. But when you look back here and you got somebody riding in the back kind of keeping an eye on stuff, and they're back here smoking a cigarette, it's like, you know what, that, seriously? You know, I mean, come on.
Wow.
They're like, well, you'll be the first to know if it goes off. And I'm like, no, don't even play. That ain't even funny.
You know, I actually had a delivery. I remember when I first started driving trailer, I think it was Ambler, Pennsylvania, and I was doing a delivery, and we had an issue with the delivery, and this guy is smoking a cigarette, and he's the receiver, and he just runs up on the truck. Like, he just hops up on the truck with his cigarette in hand, and he's just walks down into my truck to look at the freight. And I looked at him, I said, dude, and he's like, what? And I said, I got hazmat sitting right there, flammable, and you're standing there smoking a cigarette on my truck. You didn't ask me to come on the truck or anything. And he's like, oh, I didn't know. I'm like, that's why you don't go on the truck unless I invite you on the truck. There's a reason for this. You're the receiver. You stay off my truck unless I tell you to come on, you know? And it's just, people don't get it, you know?
Yeah, it ain't something to play with, that's for sure.
No, not at all. So you're in the military, you get this license, and you transition into civilian life at some point, and you start driving cross country and stuff. What was that like? I mean, did you have to go and get your own license, like a civilian license through schooling and stuff like that, in order to start that whole process?
Yeah, well, you know, when you're in service, you have to have a civilian license anyway in order to... At that time, we did. We had to have a civilian license, plus we carried the military-type driver's license as well along with it. But the only way it could be valid is if we had a valid civilian license. So it was kind of a weird thing, but that's how it was set up during the time I was in. And but yeah, once I got out, I, you know, went ahead and got on my own, went and done my own CDL stuff. a lot of people's like, well, what school did you go to? And I said, I didn't. I just went down and applied for a permit and went and took the test. And they're like, well, you didn't take a schooling? I was like, I think after 8 years, I pretty much had it figured out what I was doing, you know? So, it really wasn't too big of a thing, you know, to switch it over or nothing. It was just definitely a lot different. You know, when you're pulling into a lot of places, you don't have some grouchy old first sergeant or something like that coming up wanting to know what in the world you got on and not wanting to believe you when you try to show them. So it was a lot different trying to deal with people. It was a little bit nicer.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you started driving, you know, cross country and things like that, and you're getting your experience with this whole new industry and stuff, I don't know if you still do, but I know at some point you were riding with your wife. Was this like something that you guys did together right away, or was it something that she kind of came on later?
Well, she didn't jump in the truck right away. I think it was probably, it wasn't long after I got started, maybe a month or two. And then she came on board, decided she wanted to go out and take a chance to, you know, or take the chance to, or the opportunity, I should say, to be able to get out and, you know, see the country and everything. There's a lot of places you may not, you know, she probably would never get to see again or ever get a chance to see. So she looked at it as an opportunity to kind of get out of the house. But yeah, she rode along with me, and I know she enjoyed most of it, but there was a lot of times she probably wished she'd stayed in a sleeper or probably at the house. So,
yeah, I think that people tend to glamorize the trucking industry sometimes. And when you're actually out there, just like, it's all right.
it's really like any other job. After a while, it's just the same thing day in and day out. It's just the highway, you know, it is kind of funny.
It has its good points and bad points like any other thing, you know?
Yes, it does. So how we didn't actually discuss, how long have you actually been driving as a civilian? How long has it been that you're actually driving?
This is my 21st year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, I've hauled, well, if it's been hooked to the back of a fifth wheel, chances are I probably pulled it, so.
So 21 years of experiences. What are some things that you've seen out on the road? I always tell people that truckers get the front row seat to the craziness in the world sometimes. And I know 21 years, you must have seen some odd things, whether it's, you know, traffic or people. I know that it can be kind of crazy out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, now I got two boys. They're both there. Both them drive now. One's kind of on a regional type run, and the other one's long haul. And I told both of them, I said, look, I'm going to tell you right now, you get more than 6 months on the road, you're going to be shocked at what you're going to see. I said, you're going to be blown away. The traffic, like he's talking about there, I was heading up through Chicago at one time, and I just got up on the south end of the city. I was coming up that way and heading north toward Wisconsin. I got to hear them talking on the radio, talking about there was a wreck on the southbound side. And I was like, all right, well, you know, that's over there away from me. I ain't got too much to worry about. But the thing that caught my attention was somebody got on there like, well, now how did they do that? If somebody please explain to me, how do you get a car like that in a big truck? And I'm listening to this, and more people heading south, they're all jumping on there like, you know, talking the same thing. Like, what in the world is it? How do you do that? Well, finally, I get on the radio, and I started asking where it was at, and they told me, and I knew I was coming up on it, and when I went past, I got to looking over. I wished I'd had a camera at that time. I really do. I wished I'd took a picture. I'm still trying to figure out how they done it. It looked like you picked the car up and stuck the nose on top of the drive axles and under the trailer, and this thing was hanging out this, and I mean, it was rotted up there. It's like, well, how in the world do you do that one, you know? I mean, that was one of the craziest things. And this trailer was jacked just a little bit, but, man, he had that nose jammed in there. I don't know if he'd slammed into it or – I mean, that's one of them. I hate it because it happened, but I'd really kind of like to have been there and seen it when it did happen just to know how he did it. I mean, I was impressed. I mean, the back end of the car was hanging off the ground a little bit and everything, and hope the guy didn't get hurt or nothing, but still, that took some talent.
Yes, it did. Oh, my word. Yeah, it is. It's amazing the things that you see. And it's amazing that you know, people don't realize the danger that there is around big trucks. And we've talked about this before. But it is one of those things that you look at and you're like, wow, how in the world did you do that? You know, just the stuff that can happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's nuts.
Yes, it is.
Especially around the big cities.
Yeah, I was actually driving back to my terminal one time, and I was on a straightaway. And I mean, I'm talking straight, like there was no turns whatsoever. And there's this, like, I don't know what it was. It was some kind of truck with the trailer had a soft top, but they had trash on the inside. And he rolled it going straight. And it was like, it was almost like, and it wasn't a windy day or anything, but it looked like just a great wind came blowing out of the woods, like a monstrous wind, and it just swiped this truck, and he wound up like in this grassy medium, like halfway into it. Like it was like he got pushed, and I was like, how the heck does that happen? Like it wasn't like he was going too fast around a turn. It was just like Mother Nature said, I'm tired of you driving here, and I'm just going to push you off to the side. I couldn't believe it. But it's like you see things out there, and sometimes you see things that your own imagination can't think up how it actually happened.
Yeah.
But yes. There it is. Yes, it happened.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you'll run across out there. I mean, a lot of it's humorous. Some of it's, you know, like you said, it's one of them kind of things that'll make you draw the seat up your hind end. And I mean, they're pretty scary, but there's things out there that's just downright, oh man, I mean, it'll stay with you forever. I'll try not to give out too much info on this, because I don't know if, you know, anybody listening to this, you know, would know who I'm talking about, but I was running up through the middle of the state here one time. I was heading back north, and I got to run along with another truck, and I got to hearing them talking on the radio about there was a RV that pulled up on the get-off ramp there and was on fire. And so I thought, well, I wonder where that's at, because I knew I had to be jumping off pretty soon. So I was hollering, you know, which ramp it was at. By chance, it was a ramp I had to take. Well, I get up there, and this other driver, I'm talking to him, and I said, hey, I'm, you know, we'll get up there. I said, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to, you know, kind of stay off of me a little bit. And, you know, we don't know how bad this is. Well, we get up there, and one of them RVs, it's got like a van type nose. I don't know how to really explain it. One of them smaller type van, RVs, but they had a livestock trailer on the back that they were pulling. This was one of them. It was cut down like to haul sheep or hogs or something like that. And, you know, wasn't one of them double deckers or nothing. And they had it loaded up with all kinds of camping gear and some bikes. They had bikes in there and it's on motorcycles. Man, the front of this thing is starting to burn. And I seen some people starting to kind of move around. I told him, hollered on the radio, I said, hey, I'm pulling in. I said, there ain't no emergency vehicles here or nothing. I'm going to pull in. I'm going to see if I can't help, you know, in case somebody's in there. So he pulled in with me. We grabbed our extinguishers and ran back. And there was some little old blonde-headed gal. She was coming up over the hill there up and climbing over the guardrail. She was skin up pretty good. Checked on her real quick, and he ran on back and was talking to this other lady, and this other guy was standing there, and they were both checking on each other. And I found out that, you know, she said as far as she knew, everybody got out okay. Well, I ran back and started dumping the extinguisher through the RV, trying to get it just beat back enough to see in case there was anybody in there. Realized it was clear. About that point, this thing was going. Sadly, when I look back, there was this one big guy. I mean, he was a big guy. He came walking around behind the trailer there and holding his arms out. And he'd gotten the worst of it. And when he's holding his arms out, it looked like his T-shirt was hanging off of him, but it wasn't. He'd gotten beyond third degree. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, they was getting ready to throw a towel on him. I told him, I said, no, just, you know, nothing else, sit down. If not, you know, if you can sit on the edge of the rail, just sit down. And, you know, I was taking care of him, trying to keep him, you know, calm, keep him going too much, you know, more into shock than what he was already looking like he was leaning toward. By the time the state troopers and all them got there, I'd already went back up to where this blonde-headed girl was to check on her again. And she said what had happened to her is she had jumped out of the side of the RV as it was giving up the get-off ramp. It was trying to get stopped, and she cleared the railing but tumbled on down the edge of the ramp there. I got to asking her, I said, ma'am, I said, if you don't mind me asking, I said, how did this happen? She said, well, what had happened is they ran out of gas. I'm like, okay, but that don't explain the fire. You ran out of gas, you know, I don't see where the fire came from. Apparently, they had cans of gas back here in that trailer. And what they decided to do was go up in that RV, pull the canopy off, take the breather off the engine, and start trickling gas down the carburetor enough to keep it going down the road till they can get to the station. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. She goes, no. She goes, and all of a sudden, there was just a big woof, and then the whole thing was on fire. And then the guy dropped a can inside the RV, and that's when it really went. When a state trooper got there, I told him that, and he just shook his head. He said, I hope you're joking with me. And I said, I wished I was. I said, them people just about lost their lives over a really dumb maneuver like that. You know, that stayed with me, especially that big guy. I mean, I didn't know what to think. I mean, seeing something like that, it was, I mean, I've seen some pretty ugly things before, but now that one there, that made it kind of tough to sleep that night. That was for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I would have a hard time sleeping after that myself. I mean, seeing the guy like that would be one thing that, you know, is scary, but this, the idea that there are people out there that would think that that's a good idea and to execute on that plan, it's baffling, really.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, there was so many people driving by. And, you know, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or the other guy or nothing like that. But, you know, a lot of people, sadly, I mean, you don't see it as much today. But when I was starting to drive then, it was still somewhat of a thing. And, I mean, you still find them time to time. But, you know, drivers understand, you know, understand that there's a lot of things out there on the road that people can't get assistance real quick. And usually sometimes they're the first ones on the scene of stuff. And, you know, these truck drivers, they do a lot more than just sit behind the wheel and ride and guide. I mean, a lot of times they're out there helping pull people out of situations and don't get the recognition for it, you know, and they just get back in the truck and go on because it's something that a lot of them see, you know, hopefully not on a daily basis, but, you know, they'll see it throughout their careers. So it's just something you kind of get adjusted to and kind of prepare yourself for. But, you know, I'm just glad I was there to help out and do what I could and make sure nobody got hurt and kind of keep that guy from causing any more harm to himself. But, yeah, I'm just glad I never ran across anything like that again the whole time I've been driving till now.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think about different situations when you're driving. You wonder, you know, would I ever come across something that was that dramatic? And I hope not. But at the same time, being out on the roads all the time, the odds are greatly in your favor that you're going to see some crazy stuff. And so I try to be prepared for such things. And sometimes, you know, you're still not prepared for it. And there's other things like, for instance, something that I'll share this story, and it's something that I kind of regret in a sense. I was driving through North Philadelphia, and I hate when guys beat on women. It pisses me off.
Right.
So I'm driving through North Philadelphia, and there's this guy, and I'm about to get on the Roosevelt. I'm trying to get onto the Schuylkill to get back to my terminal. And it's the evening, the sun's starting to go down. I'm in the hood, like straight up the hood. And there's this guy punching this girl in the face right there on the sidewalk. And I'm at a red light, and the light turns green, and I start going through as I see this. And in that split moment, you think, I'm going to mess this guy up. And it, like all in a matter of like a second or less. And then you start thinking, I got a wife. At that time I didn't have a kid, but I have a wife. I have a house. I have bills to pay. I'll lose my job, all this stuff. And so I just kept driving. And this is, you know, probably 5 years ago. And to this day, if I could go back in time and redo that situation, I probably would have stopped my truck. But even the idea of, I don't know if he has a gun. All that stuff runs through my head, you know? And then you start thinking, well, how many times has this happened where he feels comfortable punching this girl in the face in public and she hasn't left him, you know? And
yeah. So
it's like, but you're dealing with situations where people are in abusive situations and they just, they don't know how to get out of them. And then you're from the outside looking in, you just see it for what it is. And it's like, it's horrible. And I remember seeing that in the truck and like literally within like a second, all these thoughts ran through my mind and I just made a decision to just keep driving. And I wasn't the only one there. Like there was a lot of people outside and I just kept driving. But man, like sometimes you just look at yourself in the mirror and you're just like, man, I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. You know, it would have had a lot of consequences, I'm sure, for my own life. But at the same time, you try to think like, what's the right thing to do? You know? Not the easy thing, not the thing that's best for you, but like, what's the right thing to do? And when you try to really boil it down without all the things surrounding it, where it's like, well, I have a wife, I have a house, I have bills. When you boil it down to defend somebody who needs defending is the right thing to do. And right. And I didn't do it. And it's something that I regret. And I've done it before in my life. Like before I saw that before in another job where I did do that. And I actually got in a fight with a guy because of it. And so like I've had a track record of interfering with domestic disputes, but in that moment and stuff, you know, it was just easier to hit the gas pedal, make my left-hand turn, get on the Roosevelt and get away from the situation. And that's what I did, you know? So there's my Hammer Lane legend for the day.
Well, the funny thing is that, you know, we get stuck into, we see situations and we see them from a distance. We see them from outside. There's never a situation where a guy should be beating on a woman, ever. That just shouldn't happen.
Right.
But that being said, we understand that life isn't what we want it to be. Life is what it is.
Right.
And so we deal with it. And when we can interject and when we can do something, we do something. And truck drivers are out there so often and they see so much and they see accidents happen right in front of them. They see things that we just shouldn't have to see. You know, it's almost like sometimes you think, how do truck drivers not have post-traumatic stress? You know, what you witnessed there on that ramp with that guy who's all burned up and the girl who jumped out of the van, you know, to get out of the way and jumped, you know, rolled over down the embankment. It's like, you know, those things can cause stress in your life just, you know, as much as anything else. But, you know, we're walking through life seeing so much more. And that's what makes this interesting. That's what makes these types of the time to sit and talk and share and get an understanding. Hey, this is what it's like to be a truck driver. This is the real, this isn't, and there's nothing wrong with the TV shows, but this is where, you know, the everyday truck driver is living. And this is what the everyday truck driver is going through. And some of these stories are crazy. I mean, what you saw, Matt, was just amazing. You know, it's just one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And what do? You jump out of your truck in true truck driver fashion and you engage and you do what needs to be done because, you know, like you said, who else is around? Who else is going to do something? If I don't do something, cops aren't going to be here for another, you know, 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes. And who knows what will happen in that amount of time. So, you know, kudos to you for doing what you did, for stepping in and actually stepping up to do what needs to be done. I know you didn't do it for the praise, but you know, you did it. And that's the point, is you stepped out and did it.
But we praise you, Matt. We praise you.
We do. it was good.
Well, thankfully, it's not all bad news out there. I mean, right. There's times you run across stuff that you can, like you said, it'll cause you a little trauma, but it's in a humorous way. And there's some things out there I've seen, it's like, you know, wow, why me? Why now? You couldn't have showed all this to the other guy in the other truck. I mean, what? Why me?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But, oh, I had one guy I was talking to, and we was chatting back and forth on the radio there, and we was coming back out across the west there, down 40, matter of fact. And we was talking something similar about the people fighting, you know, and stuff that you see on the road. He goes, well, I almost thought I saw that here a while back. No, really? He goes, yeah, I was following this car. He's seen this man and woman. The woman was driving, and the man was in the passenger seat. And he goes, as I was approaching them, coming up from behind, he goes, it looked like they was in there fighting. And he goes, I thought, man, it looks like he's, you know, really working her over. You know, what in the world? You know, I'm going to put a stop to this. So he goes ahead and drops a hammer and gets on up there on him. He's wanting to check it out, see if there's something he can do. And then he said, about the time he got up there to him, he goes, this, he said, if I hadn't seen it, he said, I wish I had a camera to see this. You know, I could have recorded this. He goes, this cat, they had this big house cat in the car, and they had the sunroof open on it. And apparently this cat was going ballistic in the car for whatever reason. And this is what they were in there doing, was trying to catch the cat and, you know, calm it down. The stupid thing jumps up through the sunroof. He goes, I'm watching this. He goes, now keep in mind, he goes, it was the prettiest swan dive I'd ever seen. He goes, this thing coming straight back at me. And he goes, it was like everything just slowed down. All I could see was this cat's face coming straight at the front of my truck. Wow. He said, well, he was driving a 379 Pete. And he said, you know, I'm thinking, oh man, he's going in the radiator. He goes, somehow or another, he missed the radiator, but he caught the top of the shell up there. He said there was scratch marks all back across his hood until it caught the passenger side window. It busted the window. He said the cat fell off the side. He said, I'm chalking brakes down. He said, these people never even stopped. He goes, you know what? He goes, I don't know where that cat went, but he said, I had to replace that windshield and also had to get my hood repainted. He said, he tore that hood all up in them claws of his.
Wow.
I was like, man, that's why you need a cat deflector up there too, buddy.
Yeah, it's not just for bugs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you run across it all out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I say, you know, it's that's a good thing. You know, you'll see a lot of stuff like that. I mean, it's sad the cat paid the price, but still, I mean, you'll see things out there. It's pretty humorous, pretty funny. One of the things I always got a kick out of was when the car go by and little kids in the window, you know, doing the arm pump, wanting you to hit the air horns. I mean, that was always cool.
Yeah, that is.
You know, always enjoyed that. And then, like I said, you know, I was talking about the wife, and I know I said something to Tony there or sooner or earlier about all this. We'd ran into some things that she probably wished she'd never even been a part of. We were running west out of Phoenix. We was running along there, and she's sitting in the jump seat there and real quiet. And, you know, it get them moments in the truck where everything just kind of, all you hear is the road noise in the truck. Nobody's really saying nothing, just kind of riding along. All of a sudden, she let out with a war whoop, and I mean, just scared me to death. I thought B got a hold of her or something, you know, and what in the world's your problem? She's over jumping around. She's like, I can't believe it. Oh, my word, you got to see this. I was like, what are you looking at? Well, I kind of raised up out of the driver's seat there a little bit, and that's where I can lean up and look over a little bit out the passenger. Well, this guy, he was probably well into his 70s, and, well, let's just say he was taking care of his own business. And he's looking up at her waving, and she's flipping out. I just sat back down, and I was like, well, wave back. Don't be rude. What's wrong with you? You know? And then she's mad at me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is amazing the things you see.
I was like, man, what are you mad at me for? You're the one being rude over there. Good grief. Oh, I mean, you'll run across that kind of stuff. I set her up one time there in the truck stop. This was bad. This probably could have got me divorced, but it was well worth the funny. Even the other driver thought it was hilarious. Thought it was a little dangerous, but he thought it was hilarious. We pulled in out there at this one stop out west, and I was late at night, and I was trying to stretch my legs and stuff, and she crawled up there behind the driver's, or in the driver's seat there, and laid her head on the steering wheel for a minute. Well, we had one of the sleeper leapers come walking through there, and I was over talking to this other driver just across the little driveway. She came over there, and she tried getting a date with me and him both, and we thought it'd be funny because there was another driver just walked on down, and we said, well, go down there and peck on that door. You know, he might be looking, you know. And she came back directly, and she goes, no, no, no good. And I just happened to look up, and I seen my wife over there with her head. I thought, man, this is going to cost me. I said, hey, do you see that white truck over at big Kenworth? And she goes, yeah. Go over and peck on that door and ask that driver. She goes, okay. So she goes toddling over there. This other guy's looking at me. He's like, dude, ain't that your wife? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, you are going to be so shocked. You know this. Yeah, probably. I said, but watch, this has got to be good. She went over and pecked on the door. As soon as the wife raised her head up and looked at her, you could see her. She jumped back a little bit. I seen her ask her something. Wife looking at her real mad and said no. I heard her say no. Then she looks over at me, and by this point, I'm hanging on the fender of this other truck in tears. I mean, the look on her face was just amazing. I went over and asked her. I said, hey, do you have a visitor? She goes, she wanted to know if I had 50 cents. Oh, well, she changed her mind. She had something else, and I guess she's needing a pop, huh? You sent her over here, didn't you? Yeah, I might have. You know, she wasn't real friendly for a couple of days in the truck here. It was kind of quiet.
You know, I can imagine the ride that you guys had for a few days there. I mean, you probably pissed her off, and she's got a ride right next to you the whole time.
Oh, yeah. And the silence was worse than being yelled at. I hated that silence, man. That was a killer.
Yeah, it's like I'd rather have somebody yell at me than say, you know, I'm extremely disappointed in you. Don't tell me you're disappointed in me. Tell me you're mad at me, and then you're going to get over it in 5 minutes. Don't tell me you're disappointed, because disappointment means days of thinking about stuff that we don't want to think about.
Exactly. You
know? Unreal. I'm telling you, some of the, like I say, you know, if anybody out there has got any more than, I'm just going to say, a minimum of a year of being on the road, they're going to have stories that it's just going to blow your mind. I mean, you're going to hear everything.
Yes, you are.
I mean, it's amazing what you run across out there on the road. And some of the things people do in their cars going down the road is even more impressive. It's like, how do you perform that, you know, and still keep it between the lines? Yeah. Good grief, I'd done been in the ditch. Unreal.
Oh yeah, it is amazing. I know I've been driving myself for 27 years, and the things I have seen, the things I haven't wanted to see that I've seen, it's amazing. Oh my.
I was driving down the turnpike one night, and it was heavy traffic. Okay, so I mean, Philadelphia area, heavy traffic. I mean, we're talking bumper to bumper. Nobody's driving fast. I'm in the middle lane, and you know, I'm just doing my thing. And you know how it is when you're a truck driver, you become a people watcher, especially in traffic. You know, you're just like, what's this person doing over here? What's this person? Oh, look at that person's on the phone. Oh, that person's brushing their teeth. Oh, she's smacking her kids. And oh, that's a bowl of cereal, isn't it? You know, just become a people watcher. And I'm just kind of in gridlock, and I just happened to look to my left, and there's a red Jeep driving by me, you know, maybe 15 miles an hour. And it's just a guy by himself driving, and he's just yanking away. Just, I'm talking like, it's like dusk. Like it's getting dark out, but it's not dark out yet. And he was in like business attire clothing. So he must either had a hot meeting with somebody that he was just like, whew, or he just is that guy that just can't wait to get home. But he was just having a good old time. And the thing was, he wasn't just yanking away, but he was watching the screen too the whole time. I mean, he was just like phone in one hand, driving with a knee, yanking away. And I'm just like, dude, just pull over. Like, just pull over and get the deep done, because right now you don't want to get in an accident like this.
Yeah, you got that right. And you are a danger on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, geez, like, can you imagine how bad that would hurt, having an accident? And that kind of like, just
got that right.
One, the steering wheel pushes the wrong the way, and ow. You know? And so I was like, holy crap. But I mean, you see stuff like that. I mean, we got guys at the terminal that I work at that have been working there for years together. And when they were younger, they talked about, you know, I guess back in the day, things were a little different than they are today. But they tell stories that maybe I should have some of these guys on the show, actually.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea.
I mean,
although we'd go from a, you know, a family podcast to an X-rated show. If we talked about all the things we've seen.
Holy crap. I mean, well, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. And maybe one day we'll have those guys on to tell their stories. But I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, as truck drivers, we see wild things that happen out there, but we also see just some crude stuff. I mean, you know, people fantasize the industry of truck driving, right? Well, I think sometimes the ladies do too, and they do some crazy stuff to the truck driver.
Yes, they do.
And it's just like,
oh yeah,
what in the world? I mean, my Lord. I mean, I would never do that in public, let alone to a complete stranger. you ladies are twisted. and even if I was single, I wouldn't want anything to do with you. You're crazy.
What a way for a first time meeting, huh?
I mean,
Tinder's got nothing on truck drivers.
No. That's what I try to tell my oldest boy when he started running cross country. I said, I'm going to tell you something, son. You start driving that truck, you're going to forget about the internet. You're going to forget about cable TV. You're going to forget about that radio, that stereo. I said, all you're going to need is a CB and just keep your eyes on the road. You'll be entertained more ways than you can count. Trust
you me. Got that right. Yes, sir.
That's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. It's a whole entertaining world out there for us to observe every day. And I always tell this joke, and this is probably the first time I'm telling it on this show, but I promise you it won't be the last, because I tell this thing all the time. So, my third grade teacher, you know, she said to me, Tony, pay attention. Okay, I'll pay attention. 5 minutes later, Tony, pay attention. You're never going to make money looking out the window. Well, she was wrong.
She didn't know the whole story, did she?
No. And the funny thing is, now she's my friend on Facebook, and she sees I was right. You know, it's funny. This has nothing to do with topics, but speaking of teachers in elementary school, mm-hmm. some of my teachers from elementary school are actually friends with me on Facebook. And they actually taught my wife too. And so I wonder how it feels like for them, where they saw two kids that were in two different classes that they taught grow up and they get married. It must be a weird feeling, you know, the teachers.
I would think so.
Seeing the kids that they taught when they were little growing up to be adults probably makes them feel old.
Yeah. I'm probably at the age where my elementary school teachers, they don't even know what Facebook is.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if some of them were still around.
Yeah, exactly.
But Matt, so that's some interesting stuff, man, that you've had going on. How do you feel about truck driving industry today and stuff? I mean, with where you're at in it, you've been 21 years into it. Do you think that the industry has a healthy life ahead of it, or do you think that technology is actually going to be a hindrance on the industry as we go forward?
Well, I mean, you know, when I first started, and it's like I've told a lot of people, I said it was all fun and games when I first started. You know, first couple of years, it was a lot of fun. You know, because we were still running a lot of paper logs back in stuff. And, you know, you can, you know, change the colorings in the, you know, in the old coloring book here and make it look right and still make, you know, yes, some sir. Great mileage, you know. But the way it is now, and, you know, I listened to my oldest son. He's already encountered this already, and he's dealing with some of it now, is on this e-log stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's some problems that I see with this that I feel that's going to affect the trucking industry in ways that they probably really hadn't planned for. And if they did, they really wasn't thinking it all the way through. Like, there's a lot of times he'll run out of time. They'll give him you got to have a load there at a certain time, and he'll run out of time on his clock, and he can't go and, you know, can't do anything else because he'll be in violation of it.
Right.
And, you know, it really, really messes with him, and him being a flatbed driver, well, he's losing time trying to strap loads down and do the tarping and all that. And it really, I guess there's some ways they can get around that on the clock. I don't know how they change all that. I haven't really had the opportunity to mess with it, and I hope I don't. But, you know, I really don't see any positive in this e-log stuff. I mean, there might be some, but from everything I've been hearing him talk about, it's no good. And the other thing is, a lot of these trucks are switching over to automatic transmissions. And it's like I told him in the beginning, I said, you know, when they first started really coming around talking about this, I said, you know, the thing I found about trucks with automatics, it slows them down a lot. I said, they're not going to be as, you know, they're already governed, and that's kind of a good thing, bad thing, depending on how you want to look at it. But now you throw an automatic behind it, and you're just pretty much a paperweight. And I said, and then you got to throw that e-log on top of that. I said, now you're trying to fight the clock and then fight the truck. And I said, you know, now you're really just struggling through the day. And I've already talked to one other guy. He was talking to me about the ELOC situation. And he said, you can always tell who's running them things, too. He goes, you pull into a stop somewhere. And he goes, those are the guys that get out, practically run into the truck stop, and then do what they got to do. And they hurry back out to the truck, and they're trying to get going because they only got so many minutes to stop. And, you know, it just, it, you know, it's a lot of beat the clock kind of thing. And, you know, I'd rather see the paper logs come back, you know, because I get to watching these governed trucks. And the place I work for now, our trucks are governed as well. And the problem I'm seeing there is the fact that you get with other trucks that are maybe a half a mile an hour difference in speed variations, and they all get together. Well, now you got, you know, you got a big road plug coming down the road because trucks are trying to pass each other and they can't hardly get around, and cars all up around. And, you know, the longer a car stays around a truck, the danger rate goes up.
Yes, it does.
Because, you know, you got a chance of, you know, one of these cap tires coming loose, or, you know, anything could go wrong.
Yep.
And it's, to me, I just see a lot of, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. You know, I hope that it does help and they can get it ironed out to where it works better. But right now, versus what I started with, I'm not really seeing a lot of good. You know, maybe down the road it might turn out all right, but it's not anything that I really would want to mess with myself. I'd rather just stay pretty much where I'm at and deal with this, you know, the way it is. I stay pretty local, so I don't have to fool with too much on the logging and anything like that. I'd just rather do that and finish out my time, retire out that way, as to have to get in here and deal with all these computers and everything else. And a lot of the safety stuff, the one thing real quick here that my boy was telling me about, excuse me, he was hauling for a company that hauled a lot of high explosives, and he had all of his clearances for all that stuff. He got a hold of me and he said, have you ever heard of a truck just scared of a shadow? And I thought there was going to be a punchline go along with this. So I was like, okay, what's the joke? He goes, no joke. He goes, you ever heard of a truck being scared of a shadow? And apparently, I don't know what they call it, but there is some kind of a sensors or something that's on some of these trucks they got now. Mm-hmm. That detect if something gets too close, it'll start putting the brakes on the truck automatically.
Yep.
And if the sensitivity is set too tight on those, whatever they do to adjust that, if you're going under an overpass and it picks up the shadow of that, it'll throw the truck into a hard brake, thinking there's something coming up real quick. And he'd already ran into that. He goes, man, it scared me to death. He said, I'm running down the road. He goes, my truck only run like 67, 68 mile an hour. He goes, I'm running down the road. And he goes, all of a sudden, this thing just goes into hard braking. He said, I got cars coming up behind me and everything really quick. And he goes, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going on. He said, at first I thought I'd done it. He's like, well, no, my foot's on the floorboard. You know, it's on the throttle. And what happened here? You know, and stuff like that, I really hope they get it ironed out. Even, you know, with the caliber, you know, I'm not trying to slam anybody or nothing like that, throw bad rocks at anyone, but with the caliber some of these drivers are getting today, and then they throw all this crazy technology at it, it's going to get risky. It's going to get even more riskier getting on the road. It really is.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's making life just a lot harder. We have those devices on our trucks at work, and when they're malfunctioning, it is a nightmare. Now, I've never had that happen to me, but the truck that I drive, the cruise control doesn't work on it right now. It's out. And so if I were to turn on the cruise control switch, the sensor on the front of my truck goes berserk, and it's like, beep, 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 like almost like, you know, I'm going to have an imminent accident, and there's a guy could be sitting still. Like, that's what happens. Like, in the morning, before I even start driving the truck, I hit the switch and just out of habit, and it just goes off. And so like they are a pain in the butt. And then also like you said, Matt, they're tightly wound. Some trucks they sense things real close, and you have to get real close before it senses it. And some trucks, you know, you got a real good distance, and all of a sudden it starts beeping and going crazy. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I've heard it from my boy, the other boy who drives regional. The one truck, he'll be on his headset talking to me from time to time, and you'll hear these things beeping and honking and all. It's like, what in the world are you doing, playing a video game or what? And he goes, no, it's just what is that, lane change sensors or something like
yeah,
that.
Lane departure.
Get you close to the line, it'll start beeping and honking through the speakers. And I'm like, dear God, that would drive me nuts. I couldn't do it. You know, because not every road is going to be smooth as glass. A truck's going to drift from time to time.
They actually, Matt, they actually have additional speakers in your truck just for that. So you have your speakers behind your head for your music, and then below those are speakers just for the lane departure sounds. It's incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it actually gives you the rumble sound that you should get when you hit a rumble strip. That's what it does. That's the sound it gives you.
Oh, wow.
And you know, the thing is that they can go off. You're going around a bend, like you're going around a ramp. And you can be centered. You're not crossing, you know, one line or the other. And it is going off because it's picking up on that, you know, whichever way you're turning, it's picking up on the opposite line. It's picking that up and it's sensing it and saying you're, you know, diverting off of the highway. You know, you're diverting off the road and you're not doing anything of the sort. It's like the first time my truck has both those two features. And the first time I had it on cruise control and I'm driving along, I'm doing 67. That's what it's set at. That's what we're governed at. And, you know, there's a truck down the road in front of me. This is the middle of the night. I mean, I'm a nighttime driver. And all of a sudden, my truck starts slowing down. I look down, and it's like all of a sudden, I feel like I'm going slower. I look down, I was doing 67. I'm down to 64, 62. I'm like, what's going on? There was a truck in front of me, and that distance beeper, that sensor is sensing the truck. And the thing's like 5 seconds ahead of me. It's like I got plenty, and it just automatically slows you down. You know, it's like, so I'm one of those guys that just doesn't run my cruise control. I'm not, I don't like that. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know if that sounds crazy or not. I would just rather, you know, and most of my driving is in between terminals and stuff like that. You know, so I'm not doing a lot of city driving, not until the morning time when I'm getting back in the morning. But, yeah, it those are some of the features that just drive you crazy. And I don't know what the fix is for it. I don't know what the fix is. I don't know how they can fix that, but. You know, one of these days they will.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll get it ironed out before it causes somebody some real problems out there.
Yeah, exactly.
The fix is taking them out of the freaking truck. That's what the fix is.
the way the industry is going and the way, you know, we're going with things with the ELDs and all of this other stuff, that those days are past. It's never going to come out. And it's like, you know, like you're saying, Matt, there's more and more all these automatic trucks. I mean, it's like, you know, when you drove a truck, you used to know how to shift gears. Now you don't even have to do that. You know, half these people don't even know what a diverter switch is, you know, to go into the high gear range. You know, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's crazy. It is like, what are we doing? You know, but I get it. Times change, things change. And I assume in time we are going to have automated trucks that are going to drive themselves everywhere, but I don't, you know, I'm praying it doesn't happen for at least 20 years so I can retire. You know what I'm saying? I have done this for far too long to do anything else with my life. You know, I don't have any time to learn something else. So whatever's going to happen, I hope it happens down the road.
Now you guys are talking my language, okay? Because I'm all about the industry going in that direction. And drivers your age, Dad, that have been around for a long time and stuff, they don't believe me. And I'm telling them, like, listen, I'm not saying in your lifetime, I don't think that you have anything to worry about. But I think 50 years from now, we're going to have an industry that trucks are driving themselves because everything's going to be automated. And that's the thing. Like, you can't imagine it now because we're not in a position now for that to happen.
Yep.
But over time, automation is going to become more and more part of our lives. And the more it becomes part of our lives, the easier it will be to integrate automation into the trucking industry. I think it's backwards. A lot of people who are leading that industry of automation are talking about the transportation industry being the first being affected by it. But I think it's backwards. I don't think the transportation industry is going to be affected first. I think automation on a smaller scale is going to start out and it's going to grow over the years to the point that trucking is going to be a natural integration of automation. And I think that that's where it's going to go. And eventually one day you're going to have all vehicles being operated by GPS sensors and things like that, where instead of having traffic lights, you're going to have beacons at intersections where the cars and trucks and everything out there driving are going to be communicating with the beacon, and the beacon's going to be sending out that information to the other vehicles, so all vehicles know where each other are at all times. That's what we're going to be. And listen, this isn't sci-fi, okay? We're living in a world where technology is speeding up dramatically. We're doing things that we never thought we could imagine doing 20 years ago at the turn of the century. And here we are, and like virtual reality is a very real thing now. If you're an NBA fan, you can actually get a virtual reality pass where you put on your VR goggles and you can actually watch the basketball game, like your courtside in virtual reality. Like, you don't even have to leave your house. Like, technology is changing the way we live our lives. And 50 years from now, the trucking industry, the way we know it, is going to be extinct. That's what I believe. If people out there listening don't agree with me, hey, you're welcome to come on Hammer Lane Legends and have a conversation with me. But that's what I think. I truly believe that. And, you know, obviously, I have a very conspiratorial mindset to begin with.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, my track record, you know, speaks for itself. But I do believe that that's something that's very feasible. It's not sci-fi, and it's going to happen one day.
No, it is something that's going to happen. It's a reality of our lives. I mean, we look at where we've come in the past, you know, 10 years in trucking. I mean, let alone the last 50 years. You know, you can imagine what trucking was like 50 years ago compared to what it is now, you know. But you're right. It is coming. And that's okay. Like I said, as long as it doesn't come within the next 20 years, I don't care. You know, I just want to be able to retire and you know, be able to actually have a job in the interim. But yeah, that's just a reality, and you're right. I agree with that. It's just, you know, the funny thing is whenever you see a problem creep in, when you see something happen, when you see a computer system go down, and you look at that and you think to yourself, you know, if all the trucks or all the cars were on that system right now, there would be pandemonium. It would be crazy out in the streets. And that's the stuff that's going to have to, in time, really get worked out, that you don't get these glitches, or, you know, that somebody can hack a computer, or, you know, hack the mainframe that's controlling all of this. Because until they get that straightened out, that's just that's a dangerous thing waiting to happen.
You know, and here's the thing, though, I'll say, is that there's going to be a time where they're going to weigh things out. And so they're going to say, if a computer goes down and it's in a busy intersection and it causes a huge pileup and we lose 50 people in an accident, just one accident, if we can get it to be only one flaw a year where we lose 50 lives in one accident, overall throughout the entire year, we're actually saving lives. Because at the grand scheme, how many people are we losing a year in car accidents? And we can cut that down to, you know, one technical error, they'll see it as worth it. That's what's going to happen. Plus, over time, as technology grows and stuff, they're going to have fail safe. So, like, if the mainframe computer goes offline for whatever reason in this vehicle, there is another computer that kicks on that's specifically designed to park the vehicle. It's not active right now. Only becomes active when the mainframe goes off. It activates just to park the vehicle. That's all it does, is it parks vehicles. And
it's a valet.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you see that in cars now. I mean, the Super Bowl commercial that they had, the car parked itself, and they made, you know.
You don't even have to know how to parallel park anymore.
Right, you don't have to be in the car.
Your car does it for you.
It does it for you. And so these are kind of things that are going to be coming down the road. So, like, I just challenge people that debate this topic and say that I'm crazy. Just think outside the box with technology. Think, okay, if there's a problem with this line of thinking, how could technology fix it? Because I promise you, technology can fix it. And so, anyways, before we get too far away here.
Yeah, we've gotten pretty far afield, man. Sorry, Matt. We'll bring it back.
Oh, you're fine.
Well, it's just truck talk. That's what we do. So, Matt, before we get out of here, though, I want to talk to you real quick about this convoy. You've mentioned to me about that you started the convoy. So it just walked me into this experience. What happened?
This sounds really interesting.
Well, you know, now they don't call them convoys or parades. And, you know, they don't, from everything I ever kept hearing on the road, they never did like, you know, for you to start, you know, a bunch of trucks getting together. But we were coming back out of, well, I was coming across Missouri there. We was heading back home, and we come across Missouri, across St. Louis, and I wasn't even trying. Normally, I was the instigator, try to get something like that started, you know, just be the jerk, I guess, of the road out there trying to get a convoy rolling so we can make good time. But I wasn't trying. And we just came, like I said, we came across St. Louis and got in there and picked up that first scale house. I'd seen the light was on, set open. About the time I seen that, I just happened to look back in my mirror. And I'm like, holy cow, where in the world did all them trucks come from? And I looked, I told the wife, I said, you need to lean over here and look at this. She goes, well, you wasn't saying nothing. I said, no, I wasn't. I said, I was just rolling along here. I said, oh, wait a minute. I was hammering on it pretty good. They was using me as a front door coming across here. I know what they were doing. Nobody was saying nothing because they knew we was making time. Well, I hit the scales, and by the time I even got up there, I didn't even get a chance to even get on the scales. I was just getting close to the coop itself, and I heard trucks back here saying, man, I don't know who done that, but we appreciate it. They kicked that light to closed. I was like, oh, Lord, I hope they don't recognize it was me that was leading that pack coming through there. So I went ahead and made it on through. They green lighted me, and I got on through. And by chance, the other guys, they knew who it was. They knew who was leading it. They were hollering at me on the radio, and they said, hey, where's that front door at? You need to get back up here. We're losing time. Well, you guys stay in the slow lane. I'll be in the hammer lane. Here I come. I put that W9 in the wind, and, man, I'm telling you what, I was beating feet back across Illinois there. And it was like, holy cow. Then all of a sudden, I ran up on this. I got back in front. They let me back up there and let me lead that. I had a pretty, well, I had a large car at that time, so I was able to play like that. But got up there, and there was a state patrolman sitting right in the middle of the interstate looking our way. And I was like, oh, this is where it comes to a screeching halt. But it turns out he was actually trying to get us. He was hollering everybody on the radio, trying to get our attention. And he was looking for somebody, I guess. I can't remember what it was. They'd either committed a robbery or kidnapped somebody or something. I don't remember what it was now, but he was looking for a particular vehicle because they just got into some kind of a bad deal. They were out trying to find this guy. And I was like, no, Smokey, I hadn't seen nobody yet, but we'll keep you posted. I'm like, I'll be in Indiana by the time you guys find him. But I wasn't even trying. That was the bad part of it. We crossed Indiana. I don't know. I don't even remember what that truck would run, but I know I had her on the floorboard, and I was making time, and, man, whoever was right there. We crossed the state line, and when I started backing out because I had to turn off, you know, not too long after I got in the state, man, I had guys just, they were about in tears. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I was hoping you was going on to the East Coast because we could have made great time getting over there. I think I picked up an hour on the way through Missouri.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, well, sorry about that, but I really wasn't trying. I just wanted to go home. I don't know how many trucks was in that lineup. I really don't. I wasn't even trying. I mean, it just... Oh, I looked back and all I could see was chicken lights for as far as I could see. It's like, gee whiz, where'd they come from?
Wow, man, that's incredible. Well, Matt, I'll tell you what, man, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing some of these stories, man. I do appreciate it. It's been a fun time.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, man. Anytime you want to come back on, just give me a holler, buddy.
Absolutely, brother.
That's fantastic. Thanks a lot, Matt. You take care of yourself. Have a safe one.
Hey, you too, man.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends because that's the best thing you could do to help the show. We don't care where you share the show. It could be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok. We don't care. But if you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And until next week, drivers, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
And prairies, rocky mountain highs, fade off into the distance like ghost riders in the sky. Black smoke and white line, steel horses side by side. It's more than just a living, y'all. Hell, it's our way of life. We're the last of the cowboys, giddy up, gone boys. 18 wheels on the concrete, it's a slow and dying breed, rolling like Jesse James. Modern day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. It's a family tradition. Diesel's running through our veins. Daddy showed us the ropes. We were born in the fast lane. Branded by our heroes, taught to saddle up and move. We keep this country rolling, we're damn proud of what we do. We're the last of the cowboys, the giddy up gone boys. 18 wheels on the
flowing diamond free, rolling like Jesse James, modern day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. Third time generation, little old school salvation. Blazing trails across this nation, sea to shining sea. We're the last, we're the last, we're the last of the cowboys. We're the last of the cowboys. We're the last of the cowboys. The giddy-up go boys. 18 wheels on the concrete. It's slow and diamond free, rolling like Jesse James, a modern day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. Modern day outlaw gang. We're the last of the cowboys. Of the cowboys. I saddled up, boys.